Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Live Your Full Potential podcast. Today we have Coach Tommy, and it's not because I don't know his name, it's because that's what he calls himself everywhere on Instagram, YouTube, all of social media, and that's how everyone knows you as Coach Tommy. Bro, thank you so much for being here, man.
No, thank you so much for having me.
I really, really appreciate it. It's so to give a bit of context, why I've chosen to, or why I asked Coach Tommy to come on the podcast is because he's a trainer to extraordinary athletes, to people at Tiger Muay Thai from all over the world, from different walks of life. And he's got an amazing energy about him. I have been coached by him running up the Big Buddha Mountain, spurring me on as you kill yourself on the mountain. If you know, you know. And yeah, just ever since the day I've met you, I've just always loved your vibe, man. And awesome. You know, I don't know if you were doing motivation like for a long time, but recently I saw it.
Yeah.
And your content is very motivating. And I think it's very helpful to a lot of people, especially for me, having been in motivation for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
So I thought I would share some of your perspective around fitness, body transformation, motivation, get you to share your story, how you ended up at Tiger Muay Thai in Thailand. and learn a bit myself. You know, I think I almost said this off camera, but I wanted to leave it for on camera. I think almost podcasting is a very selfish thing because you get to hang out with very cool people.
Yeah.
So don't disappoint me.
No, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm not going to disappoint anyone.
So, dude, let's start with your story. Like, for me, not to take too much time, but 13 years ago, I first came here. And I knew inside me that I wanted to live here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's breaking the norm. You know, everyone says you should live in a city, have a good job, etc. So it took me 13 years to move here. And it was one of the greatest decisions of my life.
Yeah.
On the greatest fitness street in the world. How did you end up in Tiger Muay Thai, in Thailand, doing what you do, doing what you love so much? Mm-hmm. And how did you get here?
Well, very interesting story. Mm-hmm. I could start way back in time.
Yeah, do it, man. Do it.
So my story is basically around 17 years ago, I made the decision to follow the things I want.
17 years ago?
17 years ago.
Wow.
Because I was always in the system. Classical story, I dropped out of school. After the ninth grade, I just stopped school because I didn't like school.
Because ninth grade, that's super young.
I didn't even have the end qualification.
Yeah.
Because I didn't like school because I got bullied at all times. Mm. And I just wanted to get out. I got mobbed, I got bullied every single day. So I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a personality. My personality was very shy, I was always hiding.
Just notice your microphone is inside your t-shirt.
Yes. Do you want to have it outside?
It'll go. That's fine. I'll cut that out.
Okay.
I'll cut that out. Yeah, because it will grate against your chest.
Okay.
So just start that. Start that question again, and okay. I'll cut it out. It's no biggie. I do it. Fuck ups all the time.
That's good.
Yeah. So I'll just start on the last thing I finished on, and how did you end up here?
Yeah. So the way how I ended up here started actually a very long time ago. Mm. Back in the days, I got bullied in school.
Mm.
That's why I dropped out of school after the ninth grade. I didn't even have the qualification.
Young, what did your parents say about that?
I never had support, like proper support from my parents. I never had a role figure as a dad.
Mm.
My dad was just there sometimes. Mm. My mom raised me. But I never had actually this connection with my family.
Mm.
So I don't know how it is to actually have a proper family. But I realize now as well that I want to create that for myself. You know what I mean? That's why people, family, is for me a very important thing.
Mm.
I want to build something which I never had. You know what I mean? I never had this, hey dad, I have a problem. What do you think?
Man, we just literally in the first minute, and I feel quite emotional because I can relate to that story, but that's definitely what you're doing, man.
That's
definitely what you're doing.
Just recently, there's like one dad with his son.
Mm.
His son is like 13 years old, and dad is like mid-40s, and he's training with him, he's traveling with him. I was like, I got a little bit emotional when I seen it. I was like, wow, amazing. I never had that. It's like, I wish I would have that, but hey, you know what I mean? It's like, I had to create my own life. After school, I didn't have an identity. So how my journey began was, I was watching TV, okay? Music video, remember MTV? And there was like a song from, remember Run DMC?
Yeah.
It's like that. Where it's the guy like with the crazy,
it's just the
afro.
Way it is.
Yeah. I seen his video dancing around, and I was like, wow, I want to dance like that. So the next thing what I did, actually, like, I got the yellow pages, looked for a dance school.
You're really giving away our age here, right? MTV and yellow pages.
Oh yeah. Hey, I'm in the beginning of 40, so it's not that I'm
the same here,
just like around the corner.
But don't feel it, and I'm sure you don't either.
I'm in denial. I still outwork the young guns.
I'm feeling that. I'm 42, but I'm in denial.
Oh yeah. It's like, hey, bring it on. Yeah. I'm ready.
So you got the yellow pages.
Yeah, yellow pages. Then I looked up for a dance school to learn how to breakdance. Then I found a school, and as breakdance is a community, breakdance is a community of hip hop. Okay? Hip hop is a very big community. Hip hop was never a music. But people associate it. It's like, hey, hip hop music, but it's not music. It's a culture.
So
it's very interesting. Okay, so I started dancing. I created a character. First of all, because I was dancing, I was like standing on my hands and using my body in a different way. You know what I mean? So I became a little bit bigger. From this point on, no one touched me anymore.
Were you skinny before?
Yeah, very skinny.
Really?
Not athletic at all, nothing. I was like, throw me a ball. I played soccer one time. I got a couple of chances.
Yeah.
And I never understood what offside was. Guess where I was the whole time? offside. And they never invited me again.
Yeah.
So I was like, not really like gifted for sports. So I had to create it myself. After I started dancing, I had a family. Because they took me in the family, we traveled around, and because of dancing, I traveled the world.
Were you part of a crew?
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes, exactly. It's like, I was a part of a crew, basically, try to mimic the battles what I had in school. Basically, like, I never hit anyone, but I got hit all the time. And in breakdance, the way how you solve issues is always you dance against each other. So you battle against each other. And that's the way how I expressed my feelings from back in the days. And I enjoyed that so much. And that was all around the world.
That's incredible, man, because, and I already shared that I have a really good connection with you, but the more you talk, the more I realize we're like, almost like brothers from different mothers. Like I used to say to people, I've been in many fights, but I've never hit anyone.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm talking about outside of the boxing.
Yeah, of course.
I've had many boxing bouts, but that's how I was brought up.
Yeah.
And weirdly, break dancing is something I've always wanted to do and I've never done, and I'm in denial. And 2 days ago I was typing in Google break dancing school Phuket.
Really?
Yeah. I found one studio and it was all girls. I was like, I'm not going there. But maybe you can teach me some basic
skills.
I have this idea that in my 40s I can still just express myself through break dancing. I love dancing, so I'm not surprised that you fell into it. And absolutely right, like hip hop, it's such a culture.
Yeah, so it's a beautiful culture.
Where did you go from there?
So I traveled the world. I had the chance to have dance competitions, dance shows in Russia, in all around the world, France, Italy, Austria. So I traveled whole Europe, everywhere, Kazakhstan. And my most interesting show was actually in Mongolia.
Mongolia
in front of 20,000 people.
What?
That was incredible.
An audience for
that was incredible. I was just this literally like, okay, your part. I came out of the stage. And I just got stuck. I was like,
was it an arena?
Yes, it was a little stadium.
That's
like,
crazy.
Wow. I was like, Tommy, start! It's like, I froze. Totally froze. I was so perplexed. But then I made one click. and I was just feeling it. I was just like, people like that, and I want to give something to the people. And that's what I'm still doing today.
The switch was, do it for them, and
yes,
it took the attention.
Yes, because like, I came out and they became louder and louder. I was like, wow, he's like, I'm not Michael Jackson, but they celebrate me like Michael Jackson. You know what I mean? Because like in Mongolia, it's very like it's a poor country. Like the civilization is poor. The king is not poor, but the people are beautiful. The people, the way how they talk to you, the way like they're not surrounded by too much social media, let's say it like this.
And materialistic things.
Exactly. Yeah. I will never forget this day where we had dance rehearsals in a ballet studio which was so raw, the floors were cracking, and like there was like this traditional dancers, and they had so much passion, it was unbelievable. Young kids, and we got stuck just watching them. We are like the young dudes, like, oh yeah, breakdance. But then we seen them, it was like, that's so magical, because they do it from their heart. So it was not just like, yeah, I have a dance show, I'm someone. But it was such an impactful feeling. And from this point on, I was like, yes. Like through dance, through words, through expression, you can do something good to people.
And I think the vehicle changed from dance to doing what you do today. But I think that's why you create magic. Yeah. And that's why you have a magic about you, is because you do what you do from your heart. And even if I just clipped out the last minute of what you said, that's a real life-changing moment for people. If they go, actually, you know what? Maybe I could create more magic if I chose to get out of my head and into my heart.
Because they're like most people are surrounded by social media. Mm. They follow exactly the things they should not hear. You know what I mean?
No.
Too much, like for example, they follow all these richness and all these cars, all these big houses, all these fancy people running around, which is for some people okay, because they use it as motivation. But when you're not on the spot, and when you so badly want to have that, that has a negative impact.
100%.
And I'm speaking for myself.
Yeah.
Like everything what I'm speaking on my social media, everything what I speak on the class, it's not I want to be this esoteric speaker and I tell you how to do it. No, I speak from my heart and I speak to the people and I speak to myself. Every time when I do a speech, for example, every Monday I do a speech and I never prepare myself. I watch the people and I have one topic, and based on the topic, I tell people exactly how I feel, how I would talk to myself. You know what I mean? Because everybody can create the stories and tell you, it's like, you can do it. He's like, yes, I know, but it's not that easy. You know what I mean? I believe because I was in such a bad state in my life, I was like, 2 years with my mom at home, had tuna cans. But I had also like good moments where I had with my mom when she had a good job, some good meals at home, you know what I mean? She gave me presents, all this kind of stuff. So I had up and downs till I actually like created my own life when I moved first time to Dubai. You know what I mean?
Wow.
That was actually like very crazy. I had a call from my best friend because he moved to Dubai for a long time ago. And I was in an internship. It's just like, I said, hey, amazing, I can change my life with my internship.
What were you doing? Internship in?
I'm not going to go into details because it's actually very funny. How restricted are we here? No,
not no, it's actually funny. At all.
Okay. That's actually a funny story. So as a graphic designer, okay, a graphic studio, which I actually do myself today, which comes further down. I had an internship in a graphic design studio, but I had to do the dirty work. It was literally dirty work. So I had to watch the whole day sex movies.
Oh my.
And you know what I had to do?
What a
create
story.
Create GIFs. You know, remember the GIFs where you had like four pictures like and I had
from
to make
dirty videos.
And I had to create picture that and create that all day long. My friend called me, like my best friend called me one day. He's like, hey, what are you doing? I was like, working. He's like, hey, can you come to Dubai? I was like, what do you think? Like, I don't have money to go to Dubai. He's like, no, everything is paid. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, flight, food, everything, accommodation.
How long ago was that?
That was literally 19 years ago. 19 years ago.
Dude, Dubai must have been so different.
Remember Dubai Marina?
Whiz, yeah.
Wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he asked me, okay, can you come? I was like, yeah, I need to talk to my boss. And I asked, okay, when? Yeah, tomorrow. I was like, wow, god damn it. I asked my boss. He said, yes. Next day, I flew to Dubai. And just because the sheikh from Dubai seen my head spin. I was very famous for spinning on my head.
That's why you
because like he showed him a couple of videos and I was like, I want him. Then we went all to Dubai. 3 weeks. And I fell in love with Dubai. And then from this point...
just doing performances?
Yes.
That is crazy. And so Dubai. That's crazy. So Dubai.
At Dubai in this time was like, especially under the hand of the sheikh.
Now.
It was like, no one stops you. No one.
That's crazy.
In the end, I got literally, every dancer got literally like $20,000. On their hand. Like, thank you very much.
Cash.
And I was like, wow. I fell in love with Dubai.
I'm not surprised.
Of course. But you have to also like, he's like, when you're not comfortable with a sheikh, life is a little bit different.
Of course.
But I went home and I realized, I was like, what am I doing here? Because like as a young kid, I always wanted to live in a country with palm trees and sun. Mm. I don't like rain. This is fine. You know what I mean? Sometimes rain is fine.
Still, yeah.
Exactly. But I always wanted to live with palm trees and good weather most of the time. I don't need four seasons. I don't like winter. I don't like winter sports. I'm totally fine
and
without.
The sea? Or you're not bothered by
oh,
the
I love
sea.
The sea. But I don't sea. I don't like sea sports.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but I like the sea. You know what I mean? And then I fell in love with Dubai and I was wanted to move there.
Yeah.
And I was like, how? At the same time, I was reading the book, The Alchemist.
Great book. I've read it three times.
This really changed my life instantly. Because like, it was the right moment at the right time.
The book we're talking about is by Paulo Coelho. It's called The Alchemist.
Yes.
It should be one of your top 10 books in life.
Highly recommended. Yeah. Like, if you don't know where you are, it gives you a little direction of where you should go.
And
you
faith.
Know what I mean? Exactly. Yeah. Faith in yourself. And it doesn't matter what happens around you, you have to have faith of yourself. It's like there's so much things out there who will stop you. So many things. You know what I mean? So many noises, so many voices. But what I made at this point is a decision. The decision of I will never do anything anymore which I don't enjoy or love. So I had one choice.
I have to shake your hand on that, man.
Thank you, man.
Fucking, that's going to forever be one of the most pivotal moments of your life.
Ah, 100%. And I would do it anytime again. Mm. Anytime again. I started, I came home. I literally did like 3 months non-stop working. 20 hours a day. I was cleaning, supermarket, anything. Mm. Anything that gave me money. After that, I put the money together. And my friends knew me as I talk much, but I don't do. Mm. After 3 months, I didn't tell anyone. Met my friends. I was like, guys, I'm moving to Dubai. Everybody was laughing. I was like, when? I was like, next week. It's like, what? And I moved to Dubai. And that's where my life began. That's why I have, for example, like here also this tattoo, which means the creation. Because hip hop, the elements of hip hop gave me actually a life and it created my personality. Mm. You know what I mean? Through music, dance, and community. And I went to Dubai, I had a couple of dance shows, and I had another moment where I'm like, okay, I cannot dance all my life. What can I do? What do I enjoy? Without thinking of, oh, I don't like it every day. Mm. You know what I mean? That was graphic design. Motion design is animation, 3D animation, 2D animation. So I taught myself. And I did it with my best friend. Because he had the
and
same
is that,
issue.
Is it Tommy Motion?
Exactly.
Is that your company?
Exactly.
Amazing.
It's like I create now at the moment another company which called Design Labs. Mm. More information comes out. It's like a specific concept which I'm going to launch soon. Very interesting as well. And after this part, I was like, okay. I got my first, my girlfriend back then, she asked me, it's like, hey, there's a job offer in Virgin Megastore. And my mindset, my limited mindset, okay, which is also a great book, Mindset. Literally told me, no, without a degree, you don't have a chance to go into Virgin Megastore. Hey, Richard Branson.
To be specific, like what job in Virgin?
Graphic designer.
Oh, wow.
In-house graphic designer. Wow. And like, if you come from Germany, it's like, oh, no way. Like, without the degree, no way. My girlfriend told me, it's like, what do you have to lose? Send your portfolio and just, you have nothing to lose.
You're better off than not sending.
Exactly.
It. Yeah.
And surprisingly, like 2 weeks later, I got a call. It's like, hey, we really like your portfolio and we would like you to give you an interview. It's like, okay, what is your salary expectation? I didn't have any clue. Mm. So I said a random number, a very high one. It was like 15,000 dirhams. Okay, 15,000 dirhams is 150,000 baht.
3,000 euros or something.
It's like 5,000 euros.
Oh, 5,000, yeah.
5,000 euros approximately. 4,000 or 5,000 euros.
Maybe four.
And I was like, oh, okay. I know. And they were like, yeah, okay. Next day. Okay, please come to the interview on a Monday. I was like, all right. Me as smart, I came with shorts, a wife beater, which is like just a
tank top.
I came in the office. He looked at me. He's like, you know, it's an interview, right? I was like, yeah, but I just don't have anything. I was like, you know what? Just because of that, I like you already.
Wow.
Because I cannot see these people who come with a suit for an interview for a graphic designer. I need someone creative. I was like, wow. I'm your man. And that's, we had this awesome interview. After 2 days, they gave me a call. So sorry to interrupt,
but thinking what was going to be a limitation actually was an asset.
Exactly.
That's brilliant.
It's crazy. Like 2 days later, they called me. He's like, yeah, we would like to offer you a job. But we would like to offer you 13,000. Mm. Inside my mind, I was like, oh my God, 3,000 euros. Wow. It's like, I never had so much money in my life. You know what I mean? So I was like, of course I accept
and
it.
And doing what you love.
Exactly. And I was there for 4.5 years, and then I continued that journey as a graphic motion designer and still developing every single day. You know what I mean? And then the journey actually to Dubai, from Dubai to Thailand. Yeah. I was living in Dubai for 10 years. And after 10 years, we had this crisis in Dubai, okay? First of all, I played soccer with my colleagues. Mm. I never play soccer, very bad in it.
What, just for fun?
Yeah, or? Just for fun. Just like all the colleagues from the office, let's play. And I did, because I'm very competitive from dancing. So one moment, I was taking a shot. I pulled my thigh from my thigh muscle.
Yeah.
And I was laying on the floor screaming. And from this point on, I couldn't dance anymore.
Oh, man.
So I came in another hole where I never wanted to be. It's like, I was in denial. I was still like, okay, I can use my hands. So it's like the whole time on my hands, everything. Then I tore my muscle in my back. And that was it. Then I became depressed. Kind of depressed. I don't like this word, depression.
Yeah, but
it is kind of a depression.
You're a very positive guy. I think you'd be in your right to be depressed when the one thing that you love in the entire world, you cannot do.
Exactly. That was the point.
That would fuck me up at the time.
And that was a hard part, which brought me to this point where I became 130 kg. Mm. So I gained. I couldn't do the thing what I love. So suddenly I was like 130 kg, totally the opposite. And I was like, wow, hey, it's like, that's not good. I don't feel good. I'm not motivated or confident. It's like, I need to make a change. And my girlfriend told me back then that, my wife, sorry, that, hey, let's go to Thailand and go to Tiger Muay Thai. I was like, okay, what is it? Yeah, fitness camp. It's like, all right, let's do it for 1 week. And I remember this moment. We had the first week training there. And I was like, after the class with 130 kg, laying on the ground, empty after the class. And I was like, you know what? My dream would be to become fit, move to Thailand, and help people who have that same issue. Because the problem on overweight people is not training, it's not food. The problem is this here. Because a constant conversation with yourself. Because at the end of the day,
I can't.
Exactly. Yeah. Or like sometimes you just shut it down. And you eat without thinking.
So you don't even have to think about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. So like I'm hiding in the back, you know what I mean? Mm. But it made a switch when I came here. Because I don't want to challenge myself again. how can I switch dancing, how can create this community back into my life without me dancing again? You know what I mean? Because I couldn't anymore. I had also like back pain, I couldn't walk properly, but I wanted to still live it. And that's what you see actually in my class. The way how I express myself is exactly the same the way how I did back in the day street shows. Like when we did street shows and it was like, hey, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. And I asked for feedback, you know what I mean? Because it feels very awkward. I talk to the people same way how I talk to, like I want to lift them up every single morning. Because like 7:30, most people come
struggling. Like, oh, yeah. God, why? You're like a morning coffee.
Oh yeah, hell yeah. But I do the same what I need.
Explain that.
So what I mean is like everything what I express is the reflection of what I always want to have and what I always want to have in front of me, where I look up to. Does it make sense?
Dude, I wrote something on social media yesterday or on a post-it note in my room, but I wrote down how to create, how to do what you love.
Yeah.
One, look at what you've always needed in your life and that's helped you. Go share that.
Yeah,
that's an easy way
exactly.
to love your life.
Exactly.
Because you're passionate about it because it's worked for you.
Yeah. And it's funny things like the way how it came to motivation speaking, I have to say like you have an impact as well.
Yeah.
I seen your post and I was like, this guy has a message to the people. And this is not just a message of like, I'm the health guru, the life coach guru. It's like, he's talking truth. There's something comes from deeper within, you know what I mean? And that inspired me, honestly. There are not many people, there are many people who just talk. They're good in talking, verbalizing themselves, but there are not many people which are actually like you listen to is like, you went through big things. And that's the way, the reason why you actually want to help people. And that's what I can see in you,
that means
you as
a
well.
Lot, man.
You know
it
what
means
I mean?
A lot, yeah.
And I created it randomly by myself. I remember my first video where I thought I wanted to do, make motivational videos. Oh my goodness, that was so not me. The way how it started was literally like, hello guys, this is a motivational series with me, Tommy. And I was like, wow, that's bad. Till one time, like my friend told me, he's like, don't do that, please. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, but I like to motivate people. I like to speak to people. It's like, yeah, which is amazing, which you do already. But be you. Why do you think people are around you?
It's the whole reason you're on this podcast, because just you being you is very motivating.
Yeah. That's like, that's the thing. It's like
meeting you on the side of the mountain, being like, you're like, come on, guys, let's go. I'm like, this guy's fucking awesome.
But that's what I try to do every single morning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm a human as well. I'm not 24/7. It's like, yeah, hoo-ha. I try as much as I can because I want to do it for myself. But 7:30 in the morning, when I see coaches sometimes come in with such a face, I was like, what are you doing? I was like, for me, that would be a reason. If I would have a gym, either you leave, I'm sorry, I'm very strict with that, or you change your behavior. Because when you work in such an environment, okay, people come, they need help. People come which they look for someone which lift them out of something. Everybody has their own problems. You know what I mean? And they're looking maybe for you. Even if it's like 2, 3, 4, 5 people. Even one. Okay? So I don't have a right to bring my personal life in the morning, in the class, when the majority of the people wake up in the morning, 7:30, and come to this class. I don't have the right to be in a state from my personal life and reflect it to them. That's my thinking. Because I am the superhero in this moment. That's I stand cool. in front of the people and some people need me. You know what I mean? Literally just, hey, good morning. Give me a smile. You know what I mean?
That's powerful, what you just said. Some people need me. Even if it's just one person.
Some people need you.
That is powerful.
You know what I mean? Even if you and me, we help one person. It's already something. You know what I mean? If we speak probably to many people. But like if we can reach one person, amazing. Mm. Right? This one person maybe saved his life.
And I think that's a really valuable thing for people to take away from this episode. It's to know that how you are showing up in your life, whether for your children, your partner, your colleagues, your boss, your employees, you're either giving that low energy when you turn up to whatever your gym is, or you're turning up like Coach Tommy and saying, hey, give me a smile.
Yes. And a smile can change your whole direction straight away.
And here we are living in the land of the smiles.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And but I think that's why a lot of people here are so happy here with so little, because everyone smiles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I asked someone in COVID, a Thai local, and asked them what it was like in COVID, and it almost brought me to tears. And then she finished and said, but that's okay, we kept smiling.
Yeah.
And it's so powerful, a smile. But your story, man, is incredible. You've made me think about a lot. I'm going to go back and rewatch this. And actually, you know, I really pride myself on, throughout my life, having the courage to go after what I love. But, you know, I'm an open book. Most people know this, or most people close to me. I do about 90% of the time I'm doing what I love, but I'm still holding on 10% of things that I feel I have to do, whether it's because of ego or pride or my conditioning growing up with not enough, and that you have to work hard all the time, even if you don't enjoy it. Maybe slug the end of the day, slug it down with a beer or something. But you've really inspired me to kick that last 10% ass. But really inspired me.
I want to tell you in that one as well. It's like, obviously you have more experience in certain things. Mm. But I tell you, even like this 10% is okay. Mm. It's totally fine. Like, the last thing I want you to even think about, to even judge yourself one time. Don't.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I'm not doing that. Yeah.
No, not at all. Don't even think it's like, oh, yeah, maybe it's 10%. No. It's a part of the journey, and it's a part of the message you bring to the people.
So true. So true. Even just this moment, we couldn't have shared this moment if I couldn't share the story about the 10%.
Exactly.
And if I was at 100%, there would be no journey left, at least in that area of my life.
There would not be a room of failure, because failure doesn't mean you failed in life. Failure is basically a room to grow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, this is where most people think, like when they have like 50% room of failure, that they just think of failing. They just think about that negative impact in your central nervous system. But they don't think they have this 50%. If you just switch your mindset of 50% room to grow, you know what I mean? Even like when you say, for example, 10%, no one is 100%. Mm. I'm happy if I have like 30%, because it means like, hey, I can grow. Every time I speak, I feel better and better. I feel like I'm expressing myself more and more. Mm. You know what I mean?
Well, I love the way you express yourself, and you're just getting started, man. And I know that from the outside, it will look like you're a physical teacher or a physical coach. But I don't know if anyone's ever told this to you before, but you're also a spiritual coach. You very much are. By the way you choose to show up in your own spirit, to share your spirit with others, to you know, to live an inspiring life, you have to be inspiring, inspired in spirit.
Yeah.
And you know, you mentioned before, you just touched on it, but you spoke about suffering, and a spiritual teacher takes people out of suffering. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've done that for so many people already. Not just a tiger, not just in Thailand, but anyone that's had the blessing of getting to know you, or even being around you, man. Mm. It really is. It's a pleasure to get to know you, man, and a pleasure to have you on the podcast. And you know, for people, look, what I do in coaching essentially is I help people align their life to their values, and then develop the courage and the confidence to fucking go for it.
You do
something similar by instilling confidence in people through fitness and mindset. You've done the same in your life. I've done it in my life. To anyone listening, yes, we have different experiences. You mentioned, or I might have more experience, but we have different perspectives.
Yeah. That's the right word.
In your perspective and your experience, what would you say to people that know the life that they're in is not their life. They're living someone else's life. And actually, they know maybe deep down that there's something better for them. Mm-hmm. What would you say to one person that is in that place?
That's actually very interesting. This Monday, I had a speech about self-belief. And this is where most people actually stop, the self-belief. As I said, they're surrounded by things they always want, or seeing things they always want. But one thing I always say, I say it almost every Monday. First of all, you need to understand and know what you want. It doesn't matter what it is. I always say, an Elon Musk, a Jeff Bezos, a Michael Jordan, a Kobe Bryant, rest in peace. They're not special. They're not different than you and me. The only thing what they have, they made a decision. They made a decision, I want to be the best person in what I do. And I'm telling every single person, it's like, work hard is not the right start. The right start is basically just, we're in Thailand. Go to a hill, go on the beach, take your notebook, and write a couple of things down which you think you enjoy. Because everything what is enjoyable can be monetized, can be created as a new journey. You know what I mean? That's whatever it is. Yeah. And we're in a time era where everything becomes so easy. You were in the same time era as me. Like when we were like 15, 16 years old, there was no YouTube. I was like, okay, how do I learn how to cook? Mm. We had to buy cookbooks. You know what I mean? If you don't have money, then you're not that fortunate. You know what I mean? But these days, whatever you want to learn, whatever it is, just go on Google, go on YouTube, how to cook pad thai. Mm. Every single person can do that. The only thing what stops you from that is to not know what you want to do. But if you really don't know what we want to do, try things out. If you're in a system and have a full-time job, you still have a couple of hours in the evening. And so, for example, for 2 weeks, I try out, okay, maybe I want to become a cook. Mm. I want to become a professional chess player. Everything is written in the internet these days. And you can learn every single thing. What is the famous chess player? Tchaikovsky? There's the famous chess player. Back in the days, he was a famous one. These days, we have many of those. Mm. Because it's so easy to access that knowledge, that skill, and knowledge. Yeah. Exactly. And I was so fortunate that I could acquire this knowledge as well through YouTube. That's the way how I started.
Even ChatGPT, man. ChatGPT.
There's a whole nother world.
I mean, you can just, if you want to learn anything, just ask ChatGPT, what's the best way to learn this?
It's crazy.
You know, like, we're more blessed now than we've ever been.
Yeah.
And you know, what's the hurt in trying something, even if it's just one day?
Exactly.
Like you said, if it feels enjoyable, that's like God speaking through you. Like, mm-hmm. do more of this.
Yeah.
You know, just find things that you love and go do more of that.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not easy. It's been life's work, but it's so simple.
Yes, it can be.
What do you enjoy? Do more of that, and get the support.
Yeah.
Get the tribe. Get the community.
Exactly.
To support you on your path.
You know what I did? I do lately, because when I was in Dubai, I was always surrounded by millionaires, by business people, but I had a different mindset. I had this working mindset. Of working, earning money, spending. Mm. Now, when I actually left that place, I'm like, I was surrounded by multimillionaires. A friend of mine literally became a multi-billionaire with a net worth of $5 billion. Amazing. Wow. And he showed me his business plan. I was like, yeah, good luck. Now he's there. But what I want to actually say with this is, now, when I see, for example, business people or like interesting people, it's like, hey, there's something going on. I literally ask them, it's like, hey, do you mind if we go for dinner, or not in a different way, but like, I would like to have a conversation with you. And I would like to just have conversations with interesting people.
Yeah.
Where I say like, hey, we can exchange something. You know what I mean? I just want to hear, for example, when I see a multimillionaire, I want to become a millionaire for several reasons. I want to be free. I want to do whatever I like to do. You know what I mean? If it's like physical things, if it's like things I want to travel to, if I want to help people. It was like,
do we love?
It's you have this freedom, you know what I mean? So I want to see how people think, how people talk, like the way how you talk. Trust me, like while you're talking to me, I'm taking so many notes inside. I was like, I like the way how you express certain things, you know what I mean? And I take it, you know what I mean?
Likewise.
So
always a student.
Yeah, exactly.
And interestingly, I grew up very quickly.
Yeah.
I grew up with not enough, whether that was my reality or in my head or both. Mm. It doesn't matter. But I grew up with not enough. So my view of the world became consume, 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 consume. Mm-hmm. Then I realized at 23 as a DJ and consuming everything under the sun, from girls to drugs, I realized actually this life is not about consumption. Life is about contribution. Mm-hmm. Then I went on a journey of contribution. I became a coach. I've been a coach for 2 decades. But I still was consuming. Mm-hmm. And then I was going bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So last year, I decided to just go and live a luxurious life to see if it would make me feel any better or any different. I spent a lot of time in Dubai, 5-class everything, business class, first class. And actually, at the end of it, I did a self-assess. And I was like, it didn't make me feel any different. Mm-hmm. So it was just confirmation for me that actually, whether I have it or not, it doesn't really matter, because what matters mm-hmm. is loving your life.
Exactly.
And if you love your life, the Ferraris, the Lamborghinis, the private jets, you can enjoy them to the max. But whether you have them or not, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because you're not attached to those things. And I think that's what true wealth is. Mm-hmm. And I think the work to become truly wealthy within yourself, healthy and happy, it takes what I call spiritual fitness. Mm-hmm. In closing, I would love to know, what do the words spiritual fitness mean to you? Like, what does that mean?
Spiritual fitness is almost the same like physical fitness. Mm. You need to train it day in, day out. Every single day, you need to do something, even if it's just 5 minutes. Mm. You can do 5 minutes guided meditation, which calms your mind down. Open YouTube, 5 minutes guided meditation. Simple. Then after like 3 weeks, you can do like increase a little bit, 10 minutes guided meditation. But this is like your first step for me, for example, to calm your mind. Okay? It's like I never put actually so much attention to meditation, but I say, calm down your mind first before you try to think on a branch which is just endless.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Calm your mind down and sort your thoughts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't get clarity from being in chaos.
Yes, yeah. That's the right words actually.
Amazing. Yeah. To me, meditation is at the center of mm-hmm. my life. So I'm glad that you shared that. And 100%, yeah. Like going to the gym, you know, meditation is building your spiritual muscles.
Yes.
And you can't just meditate once and expect to be enlightened.
Oh, hell no.
Even when you don't want to do it, like going to yeah. the gym, you have to say, no, I've got to build yeah. the discipline.
At least 5 minutes. No one, yeah. like, it doesn't harm. Trust me, I don't feel every day to do a 20 minutes meditation. I don't feel it every day. But I try to do at least 5 minutes. Mm. And I feel good afterwards. And that's the same thing. If you can go to the gym, don't just look up after your body. Go. This is the main part
your mind.
Of
yeah.
your whole body. Because like without this, you will not go to the gym. You will not put the right effort in. You will not go in the right direction. You actually don't care what you do in the physical body. If the mind doesn't work, if you don't have a direction, if you don't have a purpose, this is the most important thing. Every single day, give yourself a task which you can grow further and further, mm. mentally. Whatever it is, you know what I mean? You can, like learning something new, building a new habit, which is goes in a positive direction. But
spiritual fitness,
every yeah, exactly yeah. spiritual fitness, and there's like every like if you want to learn something, do every day 15 minutes. 15 minutes is already 15 minutes more than what you did the last 10 years.
Mm. And most people probably
exactly, most people won't even start with 15 minutes. Yeah. I think it's like 50 minutes. Why? Like, okay, what else would you do? Sitting in front of Netflix, sitting in front of the PlayStation, mm. amazing. Enjoy Netflix and PlayStation as long as you take care of your mindset.
Coach Tommy, everyone, I truly trust, hope that you've been motivated and inspired by this conversation. You're an extraordinary human being. It's a pleasure to call you a friend now, man. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much.
I look forward to having more conversations, joining your workouts, having you shout at me up the mountain.
Oh, with pleasure.
When does the Big Buddha Run start again after rainy season?
Yeah, after rainy season. Probably like 1-2 months. Depends on how long the rainy season.
October, maybe. Yeah, it's Coach Tommy takes people up this mountain that's... it's world famous for. It's literally one of the most difficult things you can do in your life if you're pushing yourself to the limit. Doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete or you're massively overweight walking or you just have no muscle in your body. Doesn't matter who you are. The mountain will take your soul. And he comes up and down on his scooter going, come on, you can do it. Come on, stop slowing down. JP, run, you're walking. Yeah, I just love your energy, bro, and love you, appreciate you. Thank you so much, man.
Oh, thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Really appreciate it. Awesome.